Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. I'm your host, along with Glenn Greenidge. I am Reverend Henrietta Bird, and we welcome you to the talk show this evening. Thank you for joining us. Thank you to those of you who are online already. We appreciate your being with us. Tonight we have a wonderful show planned for you. Glenn and I, well, actually Andrea and I, are one of the facilitators of the International Black Summit Conversation, were in a conversation about staying in touch with the people that we just kind of separated from about 10 days ago, not even 10 days ago, the participants of the 2017 annual summit event. And as we want to stay in communication, as always, we talked about how to do that. And so one of the ways, of course, one of the benefits of the talk show is to stay in communication with people who have participated in the annual summit event, or people who are interested, or just people who just want to listen. So we talked about that, and what I heard was that we would distinguish noticing and everything that went along, that goes along with noticing, as one of our distinctions of the International Black Summit Conversation. So that's what we're going to do. Andrea Chapman, who you've heard before, is going to lead that conversation. Glenn and I are going to host the show tonight. And also, there will be people joining us who were on virtual. And as we continue with this conversation of as I embrace all aspects of myself, including rage and fear, what is available for the transformation of the universe? We are continuing that question at this time. So those are two of the things that we will be talking about. Noticing is the distinction, and the question that we're still engaged in from Ferguson in 2016. As we always do, we begin all of our meetings, all of our shows, all of our conversations with the declaration of the International Black Summit. And I'll generate that for us at this particular time. The declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities, whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. Wherever people of Black African descent reside, and this is August 15th, 2017. In the north, the south, the east, and the west, above, below, and within. A moment of silence, please. Thank you. Thank you. I just want to check in to see who's online with us. I'm opening up the mic for everyone. Just checking in. Glenn, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm on the street, though, so I'm going to put myself on mute, but I'm on the street.
Okay, I'll take your, I'll close your mic back off. Thanks.
Now keep it open. I can.
Okay, it's open. It's open, Glenn. Also, I have a 708-953. Who's there?
That would be Sheila Jones in Arlington Heights, Illinois.
Sheila Jones in Arlington Heights. Welcome, Sheila.
Thank you. Hi, Sheila.
Hi.
It's Andrea.
Oh, wonderful.
Well, we want to get started in this conversation, and so I'm going to turn it over to Andrea and Glenn. Glenn, I just want to ask if you would distinguish, just for a moment, if you would distinguish the distinction noticing for us, please. And you're on mute, Glenn.
Okay, noticing. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, great. So apologize for the background noise, but noticing is the ability to be outside of yourself, watching yourself speak. And what you're doing is you're noticing who you are and how you're being and engaging in that conversation. So the distinction noticing is really an opportunity to self-evaluate how you're interacting with the particular situation. So it's an opportunity for you to look to see how you're talking, you know, who you're talking with, and what's your level of engagement. Are you present? Are you not present? Are you triggered? Are you focused? So it gives you all of those things inside of a conversation, noticing for the International Black Summit. Put myself back on mute now.
Okay, thanks, Glenn. Thanks, Glenn, for that distinguishing. Andrea, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Well, I was looking at, listening to that distinction of noticing, and I think how I was holding it, and it may be, it sounds different than how I was holding it. And how I held noticing was a certain awareness of what is going on around you. And it sounds very similar to what Glenn is saying. The distinction I'm hearing there is, in the noticing, I'm not always seeing myself in that noticing. So I would is it Glenn? Is it possible to notice without seeing yourself notice?
Yeah, but I think the true power is the self-reflection piece, so that you're able to see who you're being. Because remember, that's who. If there's going to be a change, you can make that change to yourself, not necessarily to the other person. And usually, how you're relating impacts the conversation in the other person.
So it's a real taking responsibility for who you're being, or you're noticing who you're being.
Exactly.
So now I'm looking at that relative to the 2017 annual summit event. And Henrietta was asking the question, or saying the question out there is who you've noticed yourself being since that event?
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly the...
Yep.
Okay.
You know, have you noticed... You know, what have you noticed about yourself since the annual summit event?
What I've noticed about myself since then is a certain tenacity I have, and I get that I get captured, and that's what I've been really paying attention to. I get captured by, this is lack of a better, I get captured by my thoughts. And inside those thoughts, it dictates, I see how much power it has over what I do, how I approach things, how I want to interact with things. Just being focused. I've been caught up in sending a communication to the summit body, and what I've noticed is I couldn't do anything else until I got that communication out. So I was distracted. We'll call it distracted. Hopefully, Glenn, you can maybe articulate it a little more, distinguish that a little more. I found myself distracted by my desire, passion, need to send out a communication until I could actually get that concluded. Nothing else got my full, undivided attention from then to now. So that's the biggest thing I've noticed since the annual summit event for myself.
It sounds like that might be actually a trigger. So, and again, for those who are listening, a trigger is what you're unwilling or unable to be with that causes you to go on automatic pilot. So you might have been under the influence of a trigger such as you couldn't really concentrate fully until you had gotten that resolve for yourself. I know in my situation, there are triggers that are slight triggers. They're, you know, triggers that I'm completely lost and gone, and there may be low grade triggers that impact your ability to focus and to move a thing forward. So that might be where you're at. Not for sure, but like a possibility.
Well, how I hold trigger is that it is really a integral part of noticing. It's that noticing that generates emotions or passion in me. The trigger is noticing with passion, with emotion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so let me distinguish two pieces of the conversation for myself. Again, you can take a look at it and see if that is that something you can use. But one of the things that I notice about trigger and noticing, because both of them are not necessarily related, but when you can put the two of them together, are very, very powerful. So I notice when I'm in a full-blown trigger, I'm not able to be with anything. Once I notice that thing has triggered me a couple times, I begin to notice myself about to go into a trigger, or I'm already inside of a trigger. At that point in time, I now have the ability to notice that I'm in a trigger and alter who I'm being in that moment. But that's not something that I get to do or learn to do first step. So for me, the first step is to acknowledge that I'm in a trigger. Once I get a little bit more facility with it, I'll notice when I'm about to go in a trigger or that I am in a trigger, and that at that point in time, I can then begin to look at action I can take to either get out of the trigger or know that I'm in a trigger and at least be able to offer the person that I'm in conversation with that, you know what, I've stopped listening to you because I'm inside of my trigger, so I need you to repeat what you just said because I was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so now there's levels of engagement that you can begin to get in that conversation. But that's not something that you can do right off the top. So this is, it's like anything else. It's a muscle, and it takes training to develop yourself so that you can actually hear yourself inside of a trigger or about to be triggered so that you can do something different. And that's a skill set that you only can develop by knowing yourself, number one. Number two, think about it. When you're facilitating a conversation from the front of the room, giving yourself the ability to notice that you're inside of a trigger so that you can actually acknowledge that you've been triggered and either pass the conversation off to somebody else who's not in a triggered state, or at least for you to then resolve it on the fly and then be able to still be fully with that person that you're having the interaction with. So there are different levels of training that are associated with being inside of a trigger and then noticing where you are in the process. I think that for the International Black Summit, I think that noticing trigger and no right way to be are probably some of the most powerful tools that we have in our arsenal. And no right way to be is just, as it says for those who are listening, implies that however you're being, there should or should not be any particular way, and that you're coming from pure creation. So let me leave it there. I said a lot, so let me just backstep and let you tell me what you heard inside of the previous dialogue.
One thing I want to say, and thank you, is Sheila, don't sit on the outside of this. Feel free to jump in.
Yeah, that's great, because this is really about you. If you've got a question or something that doesn't make sense, the opportunity is for us to engage it, because, see, there's no right way to be. So just because I'm saying it this particular way doesn't mean that it's only that. It's a lot, you know. The beauty of this work is that you get to invent and reinvent and recreate the opportunities that it delivers. Because when I look in the next moment, there may be something different than how I expressed it in the first moment. So it's an opportunity for us to keep looking at. And it's not like I know. So I've been in this work for however many years I've been in this work, but that doesn't make me make my analysis of it or the depiction of it any better than yours as a newbie. We're all discovering it together, and we're contributing to each other inside of this conversation. So each of us, and even the questions, bring clarity to the conversation. Go ahead, I'm back on mute.
Okay, thanks, Glenn.
I did something I want to say, Sheila.
Okay.
I kind of say something, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
When we talk about trigger, I think we distinguish that it is not necessarily a bad thing. It could be a great thing. It could feel like a great thing, not saying that it may be good for me. However, I may be triggered in such a way that I'm honored by what has occurred, or I'm flattered by what has occurred, or what I've noticed. And so I was looking at, I don't necessarily always want to shake it because I may be enjoying it. And then I get to distinguish whether my enjoyment comes out of is it in my best interest, what I feel that I'm enjoying? So it's being conscious in the whole interaction. And even though I'm triggered in a way that feels good, I'm hearing that I still want to remain conscious. In that, I'm present to even the feeling good. What's the phrase? There's nothing more important than that I feel good. So I can get that. And I think that shows up as I'm triggered, too. I can be triggered in that way. And so when you were talking, Glenn, I was distinguishing what is my responsibility with trigger. When I also know at the same time there's nothing to do except be, I can notice, I can be triggered. It can throw me off. It can make me not present to those around me or what's going on around me.
Right.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, one can detach themselves from what's going on, or they can pull themselves back. Like for me, noticing is more important than trigger, because you have to notice that you're triggered. You know, and I won't say more important, but it's like the forerunner. Because if you don't notice that you're triggered, you just think something other than, oh, I'm triggered, you know. And so I can keep looking outside of myself, blaming something that's outside of me when I'm not noticing that I'm triggered, you know. And that's what I love about the conversation, because we actually have the freedom to ask each other, are you triggered? you know, so it has us stop and take a look, noticing, you know, it's something we can be so triggered we don't notice. Well, I know I can, you know, and if I look at, you know, if I don't notice it, it keeps repeating itself, and it's going to be a louder knock. It's going to be a slice in your finger. Okay, it's going to be a burn in your hand. It's going to be three things. The flight attendant running over your foot with the cart, right? And you're still not paying attention to what it is that this is trying to tell you, or what is it pointing to. Like, take care of this thing that you don't want to take care of. And, you know, so it's always guiding and directing us if we notice, you know. So I'm going to stop there. Andrea, were you completing what you were saying, or did you have another question or comment?
I was just distinguishing for myself that triggered is not necessarily identifying something that you want to get rid of. It's for me, it just sends off an emotional reaction in my noticing. When I have an emotional reaction in my noticing, I'm present to it, that's what I look at as trigger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. My most recent trigger was dealing with something I didn't want to deal with. Like dealing with it, like doing, taking an action. When I say dealing with it, I mean moving on something, taking an action forward on something that I keep pushing to the side and acting like it's not important. So that's
where is the trigger? Distinguish the trigger.
The trigger there for me is feeling unhappy, or feeling disgusted, or not wanting to get into life and enjoy it, you know, or, you know, it may come that way, or it may show itself and sitting up thinking about complaining, being a complaint for me, or saying things that I don't normally say, being negative about something, joining in to somebody else's pity party.
So that is trigger, or that's what you do when you are triggered?
That's what I do when I'm not paying attention to my trigger. Those are spaces that I find myself in. And so those are the things, like if I start to join in to somebody else's organ recital or pity party, then that's like, what are you doing? Like, what's going on? So that's like that signal that says U-turn, you know, like
that's your noticing.
Yeah, like, hold it. You've gone too far. If you've already gone this far, you missed a lot of signs along the road, right? So it's where I find myself when I'm not noticing my trigger. I guess I will put it that way. I'm going to stop for a minute just to remind our listeners that this is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and we are here on Tuesday evening. Please send us your email address. You can go to blacksummit.org and send it. You can send your email addresses to anybody that you know. If you're not comfortable just sending it to a website, so that we can stay in communication with you. I'm Henrietta Bird. I'm on WhatsApp, so you can reach me on WhatsApp if you want to have a conversation there. But join us on Tuesdays. We send out emails and let you know what time the shows are, because they change based on different circumstances. So we are in a conversation with Andrea Chapman, one of our facilitators. We are also on with Sheila Jones, who was on virtual during the summit. We have some more people who have called in as well. But our show this week is on noticing what has shifted for us, or what is life like since the annual summit event. Next week, we will focus on participants who actually were in Guyana for the annual summit event. This week is for people we're focusing on virtually. So, Sheila, I'm going to check in with you. Are you complete, Andrea?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, Sheila, I want to check in with you to hear where you are in this conversation, if you're ready to speak at this time.
Yes, I am. Thank you, Henrietta. I thought about the things that I was noticing about my demonstration and what was the awareness that I have after being in the summit, and I have a greater sense of peace. I'm more calm. I'm more determined based on some of the things that were presented at the summit to work toward those things, and more assured of myself and the outcomes of whatever I'm deciding to do. And another thing that I noticed is I have a more the importance of knowing who I am. The importance of knowing who I am. And that was brought out when the question was about, I guess it was more of an introductory question about who you are and what your favorite things are and those things, that type of thing. How important it is for me to know who I am, because if I don't know who I am, how can I share of myself with others? And the other importance of knowing who I am, and then the importance of being who I am. And lastly, gratitude for others as they are, not for their potential. Being more accepting. And I find myself going in situations where I'm not looking at this person for what I see in their future, but what they are right now, what they are present to right now, and that I should be present to it also. I think that's about it for now.
That's pretty awesome. You know,
yeah.
One of the things that I heard you say that I think is probably the most important piece of why we do this work is being present. Because if you're not present, that means you can't take action around your commitment. And we have so many distractions in this modern day life that are keeping us from focusing and staying focused on the things that we want to achieve. And so, that's I just wanted to kind of underline that and let you know how powerful that is inside this conversation, because you hit the nail on the head. I mean, that is something that is monumentally important. And the tools that you've gained inside of the summit are directly related to keeping you on track. So I just wanted to kind of acknowledge that, and you said a lot other things as well. So I don't want to diminish those at all, because all of what you said was phenomenal. But I wanted to just highlight that particular piece. And I know that Henrietta heard some things, so I'm going to turn it over to Henrietta. Go ahead, Henrietta.
Thanks, Glenn. It was interesting because the things that you shared, Sheila, are exactly where I am. And what's so interesting is there's the operations of the summit, and then there's the summit experience. And talking now, we're talking about the summit experience, which was so dynamic that on top of the operations, it was I don't even know the word to say about the experience, but everything you said, and for me, it was on top of the operations, right? And so that's what has me so hyped up and looking forward to our October weekend, and hopefully there'll be some other meetings and things that we have as a body, is that on top of everything that occurred, the summit still was the summit, you know, and I still got all of these things out of it, you know, like I woke up this morning and I was like clear about five or six things that I had been trying to work through myself. And I was so clear about it that I could have a conversation about all of the things. You know, even this particular talk show was one of them. You know, but just clear. And triggers, noticing my triggers and doing something about those triggers, whether they are considered to be positive triggers or negative triggers. But taking some action, and I was able to, like, sit at the computer today and get work done that I had not, you know, that I had been trying to get done, right? Just ordering things that I needed for myself. I was able to order the things, you know, to make sure that I ordered them. Some of the things I've been ordering for over a month and just hadn't taken the time to do it, but I was clear on certain days since the summit, I was able to make those lists. I was able to scratch off those tasks as I did those things. And so as I did that day by day, I was able to wake up this morning with clarity on a lot of levels, not going back and forth, not straddling the fence on things, but making clear decisions, precise decisions on things that I have been kind of, like I said, you know, what's the word?
Johnny would always say, pussy-footing around.
pussy-footing around about. And so that's, like, what I love about the month of August, is that it always provides me that around this time. You know, I look forward to the clarity. It's like being on a cleanse, you know, and making it past that third or fourth day. And, you know, and you're like, okay, I got this for the next 10 or 20 days, however long. So, it's, you know, it's like that. So I want to thank you for sharing that, Sheila. I want to check in. We have some other callers online. And I want to check in with them. And I'm Sheila, are you still there? Let me just check with you.
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay. Because I came out of something and I want to make sure that I can still reach everybody. Yeah, here we are. Okay, so there is a 312 number, 301, and there's a 404 number, 932. So I'm turning on the on your mic for 312-301
Hi, this is Robin.
Hi, Robin. How are you?
Hi, Robin.
I'm great. I've just been listening to the conversation. I just got on the conversation after leaving work. The space I've been in since the summit is noticing what is triggering me. I think that was Andrea was saying that it's just an emotion, but it makes me present to what's going on with me right now. And I've been like doing this little thing with myself, and it noticing my triggers forced me to get clear about moving forward in my career. And since the summit, that has all changed for, it's changed. And I'm not the same person since I sat in the summit 2 weeks ago. I did not know that I would have so many triggers coming at me. But knowing how to handle them made me become more present in what I was doing and what I was engaging in, what I was saying, and what I could complete. Yes. So all that has happened to me since the summit.
That's great. That's really great, and powerful, and really, really
yes.
Powerful. Right. Noticing the different spaces, you know, like noticing who you become. You know, noticing, like you said, noticing that you're triggered, noticing how many times you're triggered. That's really what's so, like, I'm like, really? Like, you know, sometimes I have to laugh about it, like, really, really. But, you know, like I said, for me, it's about taking the necessary action.
Yeah.
That, you know, that I need to take. So I'm going to check in. Thank you, Robin, for sharing. And
you're
I'm
welcome.
Going to check in with this 404-932 number. I'm opening up your mic.
Hi, everybody. It's Petal.
Hi, Petal.
Hi, Petal. Hi, I just got on and heard Sheila talking that, you know, the last part of what Sheila's speaking about. And I started thinking about, you know, one of the things that I've been noticing is, you know, when we first finished, you know, with the summit, I noticed I was in this place, and I can't even quite describe it, but there was like no thing in it. Like a, you know, you could call it an empty and meaningless, but my body, everything just felt quiet. There was, and I was trying to figure out, like, what is this thing? It's kind of that space where you're present, where there's just presence to something, or present to nothing. And, you know, then I found myself slowly and slowly moving like back into the world. And the thing that I didn't want to do was to get on social media. I didn't want to listen to the news. I didn't want to like have any of that stuff in my space. And of course, as you know, the days went by, I did get on social media and I noticed that how my outside world, or the world that I have, that I look outside and I say, that world is out there, like how much it influences me. You know, then I had to really look and see, well, how much do I influence it? You know, so there is, am I going to be triggered or be inside of the trigger and respond or react from the trigger? Or am I able to respond from a whole nother place? Now, I've had moments like that where I was able to respond from another place. And then I had moments where I was just really into the, like, in the trigger. And just allowing myself to just, like, I don't even know if I was allowing myself. It just felt like it was just doing its thing. And I was just observing it. That I was, you know, just being, however I was being about whatever was showing up, like pissed off, upset, sad, whatever, I was being it. And I was noticing it. I was just watching it. And, of course, there are times when, of course, I wanted it to be different. And it wasn't. It's just who and what I was being in that moment. And, you know, I found myself doing a lot of forgiving, like forgiving myself. You know, there's this thing where you know, when I think of forgiving somebody or forgiving something, it always is like this out there forgiving. And I have to remind myself that, no, I'm forgiving me. What I noticed was it was all about me. It was all about me forgiving myself, you know, for something that I held in a particular way, for something that wasn't supporting, you know, what I say I'm up to in my life. And, like, noticing that, you know, people are just, they're just being who they're being in their lives. They're saying what they're saying. They're doing what they're doing. And I'm noticing that I can be with that. I'm okay with them being how they're being. Now, I'm not saying that I'm not triggered, but I have maybe like more facility or a little bit more finesse in moving, in recognizing that it's not personal and that they're responding to their trigger regarding something that may have occurred between us. And they're in the space of their trigger and I'm in the space of whatever I'm in. And that I'm having more facility in seeing that. And then there's also, and like today, I woke up and, you know, I got myself up and I had been saying I'm going to wash my hair, and I did it. Yay, I was so glad about that. I just did it. You know, I just got up, took my shower and I shampooed and it feels great. And it's kind of like that thing you were talking about, Henrietta. You know, it's just like there's what's there in front of me and I'm doing it, like I'm taking care of myself. Like, this is interesting, just like fixing myself dinner. And I had been saying I was going to fix some string beans, and I didn't fix the string beans. And then today I fixed the string beans, and they were delicious, you know. And so, like, tomorrow I'm taking on doing a cleanse. And but what's interesting is that I say I'm taking it on tomorrow, but I've actually taken it on today. You know, so there's things I'm doing, like, to even prepare myself, like I, you know, just to start taking care of myself. And even inside of my upset about how I think I look, how I think I'm supposed to look, how I think I'm not looking, all those things, you know, were there today. And then, you know, it was like, you know, this is your life, Cuddle. You get to say how it goes. It's not anybody else's fault why you're this way or why things are the way they are. What are you going to do now? All there is now. So what are you going to do now? And so that's the space that I'm finding myself in, you know, after the summit, all those spaces, and then having more facility in, like, shifting, you know, in shifting, you know, my perspective or shifting my thoughts about things and my feelings about things. And so I'm like, really, it's really, I mean, there's probably more that I can say, but, and that's what's there right now. And so I'm complete.
Yeah, that's actually wonderful. You know, one of the things that you presence to me is that triggers are actually letting you know where you are in relationship to your commitments.
Mm-hmm.
Because the trigger is related to some upset or something that's unfulfilled around one of your commitments. And so the tracking of that trigger allows us to get some clarity about what's out, what's off, or what's inconsistent with our commitment. So it really is a look inside of ourselves around our commitments. So it's just, you know, really powerful to be able to, again, notice that, notice what's going on, and to be able to track it back to our commitment. So powerful stuff. And then another thing, and it's been said, so I'm going to repeat it for the third time, but triggers are not only good or bad, but they also can be good. And you might have heard it already, but I used the analogy of a trigger with my nephew when he was a young, probably about 2 or 3 years old, and he'd literally be sleeping, and he would hear the jingle for the ice cream truck and would wake up in the middle of his sleep and ask for ice cream and then go right back to sleep. So he was in sleep, and that trigger had him wake up to the point to ask for ice cream, and then as soon as he asked for ice cream, he went back to sleep. So it wasn't, you know, so I just want to underline the power of triggers, and that they're not necessarily always bad, but it certainly is clearly he had woken up to his commitment to getting ice cream. not always is it that eloquent, because I know that when we're emotionally upset at something or someone, sometimes unraveling it is not as easy as we, you know. So we're inside of a conversation about, you know, deciphering it, you know, like breaking it down and going through the layers of upset and what's really getting to the bottom of what it is that's upsetting us. But I want you to give yourself some permission that it doesn't happen overnight. And it may take several iterations to really get yourself complete about that trigger. So each time, like anything else, you get a little deeper and you may not be as triggered or upset or angry or whatever that emotion is. You may not be as emotional as you go through the levels and layers of the opportunity that trigger is presenting itself, because it really is actually presenting something to us if we're present enough to be willing to work, do the work to get to the bottom of it. So, you know.
Yeah, that's
awful
Glenn,
stuff.
Can you hear me?
Yes, you can.
Okay, great. Yeah, I noticing, you know, it's that noticing. For,
mm-hmm.
You know, that the distinction for the night is noticing. You know, just notice, not judge, not, you know, not blame, not make wrong. Just notice. You know, if we can be with noticing, it gives us a lot of room, you know, a lot of room to choose in a different way, or even to take action in a different way, to react in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
When we notice who we're being, you know, at any particular time,
and know that we are, and like we talked about earlier, this is a moment-to-moment conversation, and how we react right now can be totally different than how we see a thing or we react to something 10 minutes from now. And to allow ourselves the room to do that, that's what I love about this conversation, is that it gives us space. You know, it allows us to be one way today and be a different way tomorrow without that being wrong, you know, without that being wrong. I mean, you know, just think about how many disagreements we've had with people because of something we said that, and we no longer feel that way. You know, well, you said so-and-so. Yep, that was yesterday. You know, that was yesterday. I, you know, I'm laughing because it reminded me, or it triggered me, about this this episode of Dinosaurs. You know, it's like, I don't know if anybody watched that show, but that used to be my favorite Friday night show, right? And these were these were life-size dinosaurs who had issues, right? And so the son-in-law, the son-in-law buried the mother-in-law because she has a heart attack, and he thinks she's dead, so he buried her while his wife was at work. I mean, she wasn't at work. She was at, she had taken the baby, you know, to the beach or something. And so when she comes home, she's like, well, where's mom? And he just made up these different things, you know, like to say different ways. Well, you remember when your mother, when we told your mother that she could stay here for as long as she lived? Well, her lease is up. You know, he actually said this to his wife, right? And the wife was like, what? What are you talking about? You know, and so then the next day, of course, the grandmother is not dead, and she digs herself out of this grave, right? And the wife is so mad. She is so mad at him. And she's like, you buried my mother alive. And he said, that was yesterday. Today I brought her some soup. You know, like today I brought her some soup. Like, it's a moment-to-moment thing, you know. Like, and that's a shift. Like, for me, that was a shift. Because if you said, you know, there was a time that if you said something to me, if you had an opinion about something, and you know, we debated that opinion or whatever, I would not give you the room to change. I would not. It's like, you said it, it's the law. That's how I'm living, based on what you do, you know. And now, through this conversation, I'm able to allow myself the space to give to others to change. So if I can give it to others, that means I can give it to myself, you know.
Yeah, that's
brilliant.
And that's
the other thing, that what reflects out here, it's just a reflection of how I am being with myself, you know. So that's why I love this distinction noticing. Andrea, back to you.
Well, you know what? I'm going to jump in for a second and don't get triggered out in the world, because...
Oh, that's an invitation to be triggered.
Absolutely. So you can begin to listen and notice if you're actually going to be triggered or not, or that you're already triggered, and I haven't even said what I'm about to say. But one of the things that that I love or I enjoy working with the young people is that they'll do something and the next moment they forgot about it and they're on to something else. And it's that ability to not carry around baggage with us that is can be useful. Now, it also can be useful to remember what somebody did to you and know that you need to avoid them or to get around that situation because they're damaging action that might be taken. But it's one of the things that's interesting about them. And then it's also has that intergenerational conversation that we engaged in Georgetown gives it the I don't know if I've got the right word for it, but it gives us the flexibility and the opportunity that we are at different stages in our lives. You know, one of the things that we've talked about is embracing all aspects of ourselves. And I know that I'm my chronological age, but who I am is a youth. You know, like I'm, there's a playfulness, there's a kind of gaming and fooling around that I am, no matter what my age is. So this intergenerational conversation gives me the privilege and opportunity to get in touch with different aspects of myself, the youth, the teenager, the young adult, the elder, the adult, because all of those stages are active in different aspects of my life. So just wanted to say that. And if no one got triggered, that's even better. And if you did, just notice where you are.
it's Petal. I'm like grateful that you said that because that's something that I, in this conversation that I got present to with the children, like even being in that space for the time that we were in the space. I'm noticing now all of the thoughts that I have that are like childlike. Or I'm seeing, I can't even begin to tell you what they are because they come, it comes so crystal clear and then it just goes away. It just like morphs on the screen of my eyeballs and then it just goes away. And I notice that my, as a child, I didn't hold on to things. Like something would come up, and I didn't necessarily hold on to it. And I'm seeing, like I'm getting a glimpse of that now. Like today I had a glimpse of that I'm, that there's this opportunity for me to let something go. And it just comes up in my spirit, and it's from this little girl space, and it's this opportunity to release something and just let it go. Like it's not that deep. You've held it for quite some time now. It's stinking now. It's dead. It's time to like move on. But it comes up so gently and so sweetly, and it's very, very bright. And I can't tell you what the instances were, but I just remember having those experiences today. And I may have been having them before today, and today is when they came up on the map for me. And I'm like, wow, there are aspects of me that are totally in harmony with where it is that I'm going, with what it is that I am wanting to see of myself and to see of the world. And I have so I have a lot of support. Like, I have a tremendous amount of support, even from my past. You know, there's support there, support to move on or to move into a whole new space. And that's what's so wonderful for me about noticing, is that noticing, the more we notice something, the more something else starts to rise, you know, like cream to the top, like begins to rise. And then I'm able to see like both things. And then there is this moment where I have an opportunity to choose. But like really choose. You know, it reminds me of the space of transformation, that in the noticing, in the acknowledgement of all of the things that are in your world or in your paradigm, and then there's this moment where they mean nothing. Not like they weren't important when they were there, but they no longer have that meaning, and suddenly there's something else that shows up that, like there's a breakthrough or there's a catalyst that creates this breakthrough and moving into a whole new paradigm. And so that's what it feels like for me, like even in the space of us having all of those generations in the summit, like this year, like where I could actually see the generational, the tree of life, even those who are no longer physically with us. And in all of those spaces are supporting the growth and the development and the transformation, not only of ourselves, the world, and also the universe. So I'm grateful for the call, and I appreciate the distinction noticing. It's just a very powerful distinction.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's certainly one of my top five, and I use it quite a bit. Sheila, are you still there? Are you still?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Okay. Anything that you see or would like to comment on that you've heard?
Well, I really appreciate what Petal had to say today.
Mm-hmm.
Because as Henrietta was talking, I thought about the spiritual command of being as a little child. I think that's the crux of it, is to be able to let things go like children do. Even in an instance of discipline, They don't hold that against you until they're an adult. You said, I'm on punishment today. Tomorrow I can go out and play, you know, with my friends. Okay, so I can't watch TV. So, you know, they don't hold that into the next year or the next week or whatever. They deal with it and then it's over. And they have little spats with their friends. The parents get upset, but the next day the kids are playing again. Important lesson that was really brought home this evening. And I also thought about yesterday and today. I was quite aware of these nationwide protests. And I noticed that I didn't have the thought or the feelings or the reactions that I would have had at another time.
Say some more about that.
Well, one of my former supervisors sent a Facebook video from an alternate newscast, and it was... I could have reacted as it's very disturbing and et cetera, et cetera. And I could have just bought into, just fed into it. And I know he did it because he wanted people to see what's going on there that the news media is not reporting. But at another time, I would have been furious. I might have even gone downtown to Chicago and joined a protest. But I really kind of chuckled because of the fact that protest was at a site that was supposed to be about one thing, and they twisted it, you know, everybody twisted it into something else on both sides or three sides, whatever the sides were. Everybody was distracted and not even talking or reacting to what they were first there for. So they weren't there for that in the first place, and that was the Robert E. Lee statue.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's all twisted and upside down. And that was kind of a joke to me. Okay, so you're using this opportunity to do and say and be what you really are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whatever that is. So I know in my past I would have reacted in a totally different way. I probably wouldn't even be on this phone because I wouldn't have time because I'm too busy being something else.
Yeah.
But I'm not that something else today, and I appreciate not being in that space.
Yeah.
I appreciate still being calm, still being peaceful, blessing all that are involved, and knowing that it's not real. It's just facts. And they're just reacting to some things that they don't even understand. And the studying that I've been doing this year has really been profound for me. And as of the summit, I realized that that studying is preparation for my declaration, for my being the door, the open door.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, I saw for the first time this movie documentary on Crips and Bloods yesterday.
Oh,
I was afraid to see it when it was at the movies. But I watched it, and I turned, and I saw there was nothing to be afraid about. It was a documentary, and it explained where the black youth and the youth of color, the so-called minorities, because I think we're the majority. But anyway, I have a different aspect, and so then even more calm and even more peace over all this demonstration because they don't understand. They don't get it. They don't want to get it. But sooner or later, you know, they will understand. And I have a better understanding because I didn't get it. Now I have a better understanding. And I'm still where I want to be, peaceful and calm and not excited and irrational.
Yeah, that man, I hear so much power in your speaking. You know, your ability to not get distracted, not get you off your game. And we're constantly being bombarded with stuff to take us off our game. For me, Lil T, that's all Lil T is about. Lil T is a distraction that he's doing all this stuff. And it's like, what's going on the other side? You know, what's really being done? You know, it's You know, it, we have to stay focused, because when we're not focused, folks are going to get over on us. And so it's critical that we stay focused. And, you know, that's what this work, I say, one of the things that this work provides us is to be present and focused on what it is that we're up to. And so to hear you say what you just said is really powerful stuff. And, you know, for your, our listeners out there, you know, be mindful of staying focused and staying on track. Because in this day and age with this technology, technology is a beautiful thing, and but it also can be used to distract us very powerfully. And so, again, it's an opportunity to just stay focused. And I acknowledge your willingness to find out about the Bloods and the Crips. Because I use that, I do some work with young people, and I go back and I have them watch the documentary so that they understand what was the conditions that created it and what were the initial concepts that they were using. Now, where it's evolved to was not the original design. But at least when people get an understanding of where, what the intention was in the starting of it, and notice that it got off track, and went in the direction that it's in now, is useful. It's useful to see and useful for us to interact with. So a lot of people aren't willing to be that open to find out. You know, because it's all about discovery, discovering the unknown. Because our true growth and transformation is really in the unknown. It's not about what we already know, but it's discovering what we don't know. There's a quote. Let me see if I can find it. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
What I was going to say, Sheila again, what I was going to say was that I couldn't have even fathomed the fact that I would be crying over this movie. And
yeah,
the emotion that it triggered,
mm-hmm.
to use my new word now, was really surprising, because, as I said, I really had no clue that it was going to be something that I could utilize later.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that it would be so informative. And so I looked at the extras and the deleted scenes, and then I got more. Then I really had to get up and get a tissue because of the express way the young men and the ladies expressed themselves. And they were practically begging for help.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
Yeah.
Just begging for help.
And that's the part that I think is so important for our young people to hear, that they're understanding that they're caught into something that they don't know how to get out of. And it's part of being a human being, you know, that we get in situations. Sometimes we need something to, you know, knock us or catapult us out of that orbit, because we're stuck in that gravity has just got us going in that circle, and we're going round and around and around. And, you know, maybe it's a quote, maybe it's a documentary, maybe it's a kind word, maybe it's something. But something needs to alter that orbit that we're in. And sometimes it's an external piece that has to come in play to be able to do that. So, yeah, powerful, very powerful. coming down to the wire here. We've got a few minutes left. Let me just acknowledge this National Black Summit Talk Show Network. If you'd like some more information about what we're doing, we just had our annual event in Georgetown, Guyana, South America, not to be confused with Ghana. It's Guyana. And you can check out our website, www.blacksummit.org, to find out more information about what we're up to and what we're doing. And we've got virtual prerequisites. We've got if you'd like to have a summit share, please let us know. A summit share is an informal introduction to the work that we do, and it's not anything to sign up for. The prerequisite is something that you can sign up for, and it's a one-day standalone program that gives you the capability to grasp with some of the distinctions that we use inside of this work, so that you've got the language to go with the conversation that that we deliver throughout the year, and certainly on the radio show. Andrea, anything that you'd like to add?
I was just sitting here taking notes and looking at noticing and how deep you can get into noticing. And the biggest thing that showed up for me is that when I'm noticing, what the summit gives me a technology or some tools to do is in that noticing, get that at any moment in that noticing, I get to be a choice. And I get to choose from where I stand and notice. I can stay right where I am and notice it and be triggered by it or consumed by it and just make me sit down and not want to do anything else, or I can be motivated by it. That same thing that's occurring, I can notice it in a different way. And I can choose when I'm noticing to look at it a certain way or change how I look, because I'm just that powerful. I get to do that. And when I notice, that's the power shows up, that I can be a choice. And that's what the summit keeps me present to, is that I get to choose at any time how I'm going to be with it. And that question that we have for the year is, as I embrace myself, all aspects of myself. So it's okay. However I choose to look at a thing, it's okay, because I embrace myself. I nurture myself. I love myself in whatever space, wherever I am looking. That I want to also say that when we have teams and you become parts of a team in the summit, this is part of the work that we do on those team calls. Say if you're on the media team, you're just not talking about a media event or how to generate a media event. At the beginning of that call, you have the opportunity to have a conversation just like the one that we have right here. And we call it clearing ourselves. And we get to bring into that conversation, into that meeting space, what's present for us in that moment. And we get to interact with that. So that's part of what happens. That's part of the work that we do in teams that has the conversation continue. So that's what I wanted to share, Glenn.
Oh, that's excellent, because you're absolutely right. The power of this work is in the working it out with other individuals. Now, you're working on your own thing, but you're hearing it from other sides and other aspects and other access points. That give you expanded capacity and capability to listen and to hear. You know, when I think about the work that we do and the listening that we do, we are truly spiritual beings, and being present allows us to listen. And that listening is where all of the access to, I say power is. You know, I'm going to share one thing before we get off this call. I spent 25 years in data processing, learning how to be analytic. And I was very, very good at what I did. And coming into this body of work had me listen to what life was going to provide me. And what that had me do was to stop and listen. And the things that I've been able to accomplish through listening far exceed the capability that I had personally. And I had a lot of capability. But there was something so much more powerful and available, because there were things that I wasn't present to that life presented to me and was able to allow me to meet my commitments in ways that I couldn't even have conceived possible. So it's this work is just, I guess, the thing that I want to say about this particular annual event, 2017, was about expansion and capacity for me. And that's what I'm up to in life, in my job, and also inside of my being. And, you know, the ability to listen and allow myself to be contributed to inside of my commitments is huge. It just really is a huge conversation for me to get access to. So I thank the 27 or how many ever years I've been inside this conversation, because every time I'm in this conversation, I hear something different. And it's when I share it with others and share myself and share what I'm up to and what I'm doing, as I begin to hear things that I hadn't heard before. And so I'm constantly expanding my capacity. A lot of times just to be with myself, which, you know, I'm like, well, wait a minute. Really? Yeah, really. You know, that's where the juice has been for myself, is to really allow myself to be. You know, I love the expression, there's nothing to do except be. And our ability as people of Black African descent to be is such a powerful thing. And when we can embrace it fully, there's nothing on the planet that can stop us, nothing in the universe that can stop us. Anyway. Any last comments before we leave? Sheila, anything for you?
No, I'm complete.
Okay. Well, thank you for being on the call. Certainly, it's been a pleasure. I look forward to meeting you in person, although I've met you virtually, and that's pretty special in on itself. So thank you for being in on the show. Tonight.
You're welcome.
Petal, anything for you? You still on the phone? I keep saying
the phone. I'm on the show. I'm on the show. Yeah.
Anything you'd like to say?
The phone is ringing. So just, you know, that piece on listening, what I've just noticed is that I have expanded my bandwidth for listening, that I could even hear what number 45 said today. Like I could hear something in what he said that actually made some sense. Where had I had, you know, maybe yesterday, day before yesterday, last week,
I might have been, you know, in the vein of, you know, that already always listening that's pervasive. And I heard something today. And then I also heard, you know, something for myself. It's like, you know, if I can call something, then it's in me.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's hatred, then I've got to look at where it's in me and deal with that thing in me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm calling whatever I'm calling these people, and Sheila, when Sheila spoke and you spoke about the Crips and the Blood, the movie,
mm-hmm.
and the children, and I really got present to everybody's scared and everybody
mm-hmm.
want help. And you know those people
yeah.
down there who are standing for that statue, you know, their whole world is crumbling. Like somebody
around
is shifting
them.
For them
That's
and it's
right.
yes, and it's very difficult. And we that upset, that fear, the all those things, I don't know if it allows us to even have some compassion for that. Like for the way so you know, let me speak for myself. It's like that's what I'm noticing, and it's been there under the surface for me, and today I could actually hear, there but what is for the grace of God goes I,
mm-hmm.
like there
mm-hmm.
I am, and mm-hmm. and just as afraid. And, you know, when we get frightened, you know, we want to do something and we want to, and violence come out or whatever comes out because it's anger, that rage, that thing that's still that we're sitting in inside of our question this year, you know. You know, so I'm looking at embracing that thing over there that, and it shows up inside of completion. It shows up inside the distinction completion, you know, that people are looking for a way to be complete in the old paradigm
mm-hmm.
old paradigm. And I don't know that they have the room or the space. I don't know if I even give myself the room and the space to get complete such that I can embrace what this thing called noticing provides, and that's the possibility of transformation, of taking on something new, something different, something powerful beyond what my mind can conceive or beyond what my
mm-hmm.
mind thinks I'm to have. You know, so
mm-hmm.
there's this whole, you know, the fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I wanted to share.
You know, the irony of this is pretty wild because one of the things that we talked about is the unknown this weekend in the conversation of partnership, the partnership program that I'm dealing with. This is a quote by John Lilly, and it goes like this: freedom is in the unknown. If you believe there's an unknown everywhere, in your own body, in your relationships with other people, in political institutions, in the universe, then you have maximum freedom. Let me read that again. Freedom is in the unknown. If you believe there's an unknown everywhere, in your own body, in your relations with other people, in political institutions, in the universe, then you have maximum freedom. So, there is something about that unknown. And when you're on that orbit, you're not willing to leave that orbit because that's safe and known to you. And it's when
yeah.
when you're willing to deal with the unknown, that's when the creation is available for you. So,
yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Yeah, that's very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Andrea, any last words for you, my dear?
Mm-hmm. It sounds like it can go on and on. But, yeah, I think we said a lot. I'm complete.
Okay. Well, I am complete as well. Thank you all for being on the show tonight. Listeners, again, this is the National Black Summit Talk Show Network. Please check out our website, www.blacksummit.org, for more information about what we do, where we are, and what we're looking to empower. We're about empowering personal empowerment, community empowerment, and continue to join us from week to week. And if you can't reach the show, all of this is taped, so you have an opportunity to listen after the show is done. And again, you can go to the website, www.blacksummit.org, for any further information. Peace, blessings, and love to you all. And looking to see you on the next show. Good night and God bless.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.